Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I think when it comes to sports, probably being described as zombie-like is not a positive. I'm not sure I've heard that description recently about the way a team played, but we had it dropped on Wednesday night, so we'll explain coming up. A busy night in the NBA as we head forward toward the All-Star break, which will take place in Chicago. Sure to be a lot of tributes to Kobe Bryant and a celebration of Kobe Bryant's life and legacy. But in addition, it's Valentine's weekend, and I'm wondering whether or not that'll be any factor or any element in All-Star weekend. It's actually a really busy weekend in sports. I know it's maybe not fair to be talking about the weekend yet, but it's actually a really busy weekend. Whether you are into the NBA All-Star game and the All-Star festivities, which I think they do really well in terms of making the entire event something that people want to be part of. Obviously, a ton of celebrities and musicians, entertainers will show up. And I think even more so this year because there is certain to be a lot of mention of Kobe Bryant and his photo and certainly tributes. And then in addition to that, you've got, you know, your regular NHL games, college basketball. We also have Daytona weekend taking place in NASCAR, which is the race that I never miss. Of the entire schedule, it's the one that I'm always planted in front of the TV for. And the second weekend of the XFL, not to mention Major League Baseball now, spring training. I know a lot of sports fans enjoy taking their trips to spring training, especially if they're in cold weather locales and they want to be able to get to Arizona or to Florida and enjoy the start of their favorite sport and some nice weather, some sunshine as well if they can grab it. So it's starting early. Actually, was just speaking to an anchor who works here in our New York market locally, and we were talking about how February hasn't really been kind of that pause. Sometimes it's a pause in February, and you maybe have a little bit of downtime where it's not quite as crazy, but it definitely has not been that way. It just continues on. Sports never stop. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good news. Everything appears to be working the way it was designed for now. And no, I don't believe in jinxes. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's the personal paradise. And you can get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. I am really, really excited to share a conversation with you that I had on Wednesday afternoon. I was in my home, but DeMario Davis, Saints All-Pro linebacker, he was at a park with his kiddos, and he was generous enough to spend a bunch of time with me answering my questions about the Saints and about his career. He's a first-time All-Pro, as well as about Drew Brees, and then a brand-new book that he's got out. I don't know how he had time to write a book with what is a budding basketball team of children, all 6 years of age and younger. Incredible. But he has a brand-new book out. It's called The Unsuccessful Champion, and it's not just about football, though it certainly does talk about his journey to the NFL, but he had a really difficult childhood. Some of that was in his control, and some of it was completely out of his control, and the lessons that he learned, and hitting rock bottom, and then being able to start the rise to, you know, become a professional football player. It's another incredible story. I was actually talking to Chris and Dave and was just mentioning, wow, we've been the benefactors here on After Hours of some really incredible stories. So going back to Radio Row and Super Bowl week, we talked to Ryan Leaf and we talked to Olympic champion and MMA champ Kayla Harrison. We talked to Yetur Gross-Matos of Penn State, who's also got this incredible story from his family, a story of survival and a family sticking together despite some of the worst imaginable circumstances. And now here, DeMario Davis, who is so much more than just a football player. So I'm really excited to share that conversation with you. It comes up the top of next hour. And we'll also put it on our YouTube channel, but really good stuff. Don't miss it. You can find me on Twitter, A Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's kind of a weird hodgepodge on my social media. So posted the link to my last weekly column of this run. So I'll start again in August, but my last weekly football column is actually looking ahead to what I'll call the second season or the other season. You think the games are over, but no, there's a whole nother set of games that are just beginning. So I hope you'll check that out on Twitter. I'll put it up on Facebook here when we take a break. But that column is done, so some of you are responding to that. Also, it seems like whenever we do Ask Amy Anything, which is part of our hump show, a lot of you then will either respond to the answers that you heard, or you'll continue to ask questions because you saw the posts on social media. And so that was kind of fun, too. Lots of people offering to play golf with me, which I appreciate. it's good to know I've got golf partners spread all over the country. And so maybe we'll make that happen coming up in 2020. And then still more about Major League Baseball and how the Astros deserve to be punished more, about the fact that their sign stealing, their cheating has changed everything, about who bears responsibility and what you want to hear from the Astros. And so that's still the overarching storyline. It really is bigger than anything else happening in Major League Baseball right now, even as the league announced rule changes, which are once again designed to speed up the pace of play. This is Rob Manfred's hill that he is willing to die on. Everything this man has done as a commissioner has been about speeding up the pace of play. I don't know if it's working or not, but there's a brand new rule that is once again designed to limit the number of pitching changes and speed up pace of play, which he swears is not the same as time of games. But the problem is both those numbers are going the opposite direction. Seems like no matter what he tries, baseball refuses to cooperate. So interestingly enough, there's a new rule now that they'll start actually with spring training games about a month from now that indicates if you're going to make a pitching change, that pitcher has to be on the mound for at least three batters or the end of an inning, or obviously the end of a game. So pitchers now must face at least three batters, or they have to be the ones who get the team out of the inning, barring any injuries, of course. If a pitcher is hurt, he doesn't have to stay out there. Let's just say he takes a ball to the noggin, or he takes a ball to some other body part and he can't pitch. Well, they're not going to penalize the team for that. So I was doing some research and found this number. So this will be our first nerd alert of this edition of After Hours. Last season, there were 2,162 appearances by pitchers of three hitters or fewer. Okay, so that would be the minimum now. But there were also a bunch of them in there that didn't include three batters. 1,471 of those were finishing the end of an inning or wrapping up a game. Okay, so like a save situation. So you take those out, you do the quick math, you're talking about roughly 700 that weren't end of inning or end of game. Some of those were three batters, some of them weren't. But either way, let's just say for the sake of argument, baseball eliminates 500 pitching changes. All right. That certainly would cut down on the time that we have to wait for a relief pitcher to come in from the bullpen and then warm up and then start facing hitters. Is it enough to change the pace of play? Is it enough to be significant? Because to this point, a lot of the changes that Rob Manfred and the owners have tried to institute haven't actually been significant enough to change anything, to make an impact that's even noticeable. But this is a rule change that had to be ratified by the Players Association, which it was. And so they've agreed to it as well. John Smoltz was a guest on, was MLB Network where John Smoltz was? And he was asked, as a obviously Hall of Fame pitcher, he was asked his reaction to what, you know, to what this rule might do and to how this rule might impact the game. And he says he likes it.
All these rule changes, people are looking at the literal impact instead of the big overall impact. These have cumulative effects to a ball club and how you put together a ball club. I think baseball has been well documented that the time of game is actually going in the wrong direction. So everybody's trying to figure out what you can do. But from a strategy standpoint, they found and created a loophole in the system in the movement of pitchers that they could utilize through a year. Right. So you could bring in six pitchers in one inning if you want and not reap the damage that it does to your ball club by just calling up other pitchers. So what this does is it creates a roster of, all right, you got to make decisions and put your guys in position to be equipped to come in. And if they have to, phase three. Remember, they don't have to if they get the last out.
So he points out there's that loophole there. Something else that is potentially going to force teams to make fewer pitching changes and use fewer pitchers is that they're limiting the number of roster call-ups that you can make come September. So there's a mini expansion for most of the regular season. I say mini because it's not, I don't want to say it's insignificant because it does add an extra person to each roster. So the active roster starting on opening day through the end of August used to be 25. Now it's going to be 26. Okay, so baseball's changing this minimum hitter rule for pitchers and allowing teams to add one more, potentially a pitcher. It could be anything. There's no rule stipulation that indicates how many pitchers versus how many position players that you have to have on your roster. But you have one extra member of your active roster through August 31st. But here's the interesting thing. So that's not extremely significant. But the interesting thing is that where we used to see roster call-ups and rosters would expand and guys would come up from the minor leagues as minor league baseball was wrapping up its season, teams used to be able to balloon their rosters to 40 and they would have all kinds of options. Now, when you get to the postseason, you have a certain number of guys who are on active roster, but from the end of August, essentially the last month of the season, teams would have so many more options, which meant a lot of times they could play those numbers and play the analytics and bring in as many pitchers as they wanted in an inning because they really had an exhaustive group. Not anymore. From now on, roster call-ups mean you can add two more people to your roster for the month of September. And so it does limit the number of minor league guys who will get the chance in the show. And we'll have to really compete to be part of that expanded roster. But it's only expanding from 26 to 28 for September. And then it goes back down to 26 for the postseason. So that is something that I think is significant. The fact that it's not going to be a roster where managers can run guys in and out all the time. They've got to be a lot more economical with the changes that they make to their lineup in game. So we'll see whether or not the other rules, the pitching rules change a whole lot. But yeah, Rob Manfred is all about trying to speed up the pace of play. And so far, nothing that he's done has worked. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Always good to hear from you. Well, 90% of the time, it's good to hear from you. I try to be honest. And then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, coming up, a big-time streak ended abruptly in the NBA, plus some other hard court drama from Wednesday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
LeBron coming back the other way. LeBron around a pick from Dwight Howard. There he goes, right at Jokic. Lays it up and in. And he tried to foul Jokic out there, Michael. No whistle. 30 for LeBron James. Jeremy Grant on LeBron with 5 to shoot. LeBron drives inside. Got it to Davis. 3-pointer by AD. Good again! Anthony Davis. with two overtime threes put the Lakers up 119-116.
Threes, the big threes, you know, he's making down at crunch time. It's tough to score, you know, on the road against a good defensive team at crunch time. And, you know, Bron's getting great penetration. We're attacking Joker at five fouls. And, you know, when they brought help, AD punished him with big threes, you know. And then obviously what he does on the defensive end is just, he's a defensive player of the year.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Frank Vogel loves what he sees from Anthony Davis on both ends of the court. And even as he touts his defense, the Lakers got a big offensive boost from the Brow in overtime on the road in Denver, which is huge. He has a couple of critical threes. In fact, was 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, 12 of 23 overall. So between he and LeBron James, the two of them took 52 combined shots, and they ended up with 65 points total. Now, there were other guys off the bench. Dwight Howard with a double-double. It's amazing, the resurgence to his career in a place where it almost looked like his career died back when he was with the Lakers for the one season. No, he has a double-double, and you also got the 10 points from Avery Bradley. So I'm starting to like the Lakers' depth more and more, certainly more than I did when they first put this team together back before the season tipped off. John Ireland on the Lakers radio network, and Los Angeles moves to 41-12 as they get close to the All-Star break. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. So you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook if you want to call about the baseball rule changes. I'd love to hear from you. And it's lots of tweaking. I don't know whether or not it results in the changes, the impact that Commissioner Rob Manfred wants. I have no idea. We shall see. But it's this constant theme from him that they are insistent that the games need to be moving faster at a faster pace, not necessarily total time on the field. It's sometimes hard to separate the two, though. So we'll take your phone calls. Again, 855-212-4227. Coming up, Mookie Betts and David Price introduced by the Dodgers. I'm not sure I've ever seen David Price smile so much. He's definitely happy to be with the Dodgers. And Aaron Boone, one of the latest to speak out about this. Well, the big theme, the overarching umbrella for spring training, which is the Astros and their cheating. And since we haven't heard from the current members of the team, Thursday, though, that all comes to a head because not only is Dusty Baker going to speak to the media on Thursday, but players will be available for the first time. Today was Jim Crane, the owner, speaking to the Astros. So we'll do a little more baseball coming up. But in the NBA, as they hurtle their way toward the All-Star break, we had a 15-game win streak on the line for the Toronto Raptors. And, you know, any given night,
that's break pressure with a pass to the front court. LeVert, open to the corner, sprints. Drives along the baseline. Opposite corner, Harris. Left corner, three. And it's good. He rattles it in. Joe Harris with 19 points. And the Nets go up by 13 with a minute 50 to go. LeVert gets it away from VanVleet. Drives and kicks in the corner. Chandler, a three. And it's good. And it looks like Toronto's 15-game winning streak may be going down tonight in Brooklyn. Nets 101, Raptors 87 with a minute 16 to go.
It did that, Chris Carino on the Brooklyn Nets radio network. And they actually have played some really good basketball the past 10 games. They've won 7 of 10. They're within striking distance of 500. And so the Nets are playing better, even though there's been very little of Kyrie Irving. And, of course, Kevin Durant's not playing all of this season as he recovers from the Achilles. But the Toronto Raptors see their streak end at 15 games. And so that means Milwaukee will continue to own the longest win streak of the season at 18, which happened much earlier on. I started out the show by referencing the zombies. Well, that was what Kyle Lowry said after the game, is that the team played as though they were zombie-like. I don't think that's what you're going for when you're trying to extend your win streak.
They made shots. They played well. We didn't play too well. They stuck with their coverages. They stuck with their game plan. They stuck with their schemes. You know, we played walking, you know, we kind of walking zombies a little bit. We didn't play well tonight. Simple as that. We missed shots. We weren't aggressive. We just didn't play well. And giving them credit, they played their butts off, and they beat us.
So if you look at the Eastern Conference standings as we get close to the All-Star break now, we had talked about how even with the 15 consecutive wins, the Raptors were still languishing behind the Bucks by 6.5. Well, the Bucks did lose their most recent game. And so while they are the only team in the Eastern Conference that has still, actually the only team in the NBA that has single-digit losses, most importantly is that the Raptors, while they gained some ground, they didn't gain enough ground that they're kind of breathing down the Bucks' necks yet. They're still 6.5 back in the Eastern Conference standings. It could make for some great drama in the last couple months of the regular season. As for the Brooklyn Nets, even with the three games below 500, they're in the 7th spot in the East. So the East is extremely top heavy, as opposed to being a little more of maybe a kind of wide open, and you could expect that there might be some upsets. This one is, yeah, it's the teams at the top, really the top four, unless the Philadelphia 76ers get their act together, which they've won three in a row. So maybe they're going to round into form a little bit. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. It was great to see Doncic back on the court for the Dallas Mavericks after he missed the last 7 games with a sprained ankle.
Justin Jackson to Porzingis, and now to Doncic. To his right off, Porzingis on the drive all the way to the rim, and again, no, like absolutely no resistance by Sacramento's defense. Porzingis to Doncic, right wing, to his left, to the top of the arc for three, it's good. 33 for Doncic. Now 3 of 7 from behind the line, 113-91.
We haven't seen a whole lot of Kristaps Porzingis and Luka Doncic together, mostly because of KP's injuries. But you can see in a game like this with the Dallas Mavericks what the two of them are supposed to be, the 1-2 punch, and how deadly those guys can be. And this is obviously what the Mavericks had in mind. They just have to get into a consistent place where this is what they're putting out there on the court night after night. Kristaps Porzingis, 11 of 16 from the floor. He had 27 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 block shots. I mean, that's what he's capable of when he's healthy. And as for Doncic, we know how good he is. 33 points, a dozen rebounds, 8 assists in his return from that ankle injury. So good to see him back on the court as well. I did see Damian Lillard, I don't know if I want to call it a highlight, but I did see Damian Lillard was hobbling, had a groin injury, and now is going to miss the All-Star festivities. And the night after we talk about Memphis Grizzlies basketball and we highlight the Grizzlies host the Trail Blazers and take them out. And really, it was the Grizzlies' defense in the second half that was so good, in one quarter, even limiting Portland to just 19 points. So a total turnaround after halftime in terms of their defensive effort. So we get to the All-Star break. And of course, the trade deadline comes up not long after that. And before you know it, we'll be talking about playoff positioning in the NBA and, of course, in the NHL as well. All right, straight ahead, Mookie Betts and David Price introduced by the Dodgers. Lots of smiles, lots of excitement there. And still, the number one story at spring training is the Astros and their sign stealing and that 2017 tainted World Series. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Good to have you on board. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mookie Betts swings and drives the first pitch to left field, and this one is way back by the wall and gone! Into the first row of the monster seats, a first pitch home run for Mookie Betts, his third leadoff home run this season, his 24th of the year. His 71st RBI, and the Red Sox lead it 1-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Joe Castiglione is the voice of the Boston Red Sox on their radio network. And Mookie Betts, along with David Price, now belong to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And for the first time, because it took a bit for this trade to go through, for the first time, they answered questions from the media and donned those Dodgers jerseys for photos and for different radio and TV interviews. I think if you're the Dodgers, as close as they've come the last couple years, and as frustrating as it's been for them to see these exits from the playoffs, none of this past year they didn't get past the Nationals, but maybe even worse, right, than losing in the World Series the 2 years before, because they had that Game 5 in their own stadium, and yeah, just the way that they lost this year was maybe a little more painful. Actually, maybe like the New Orleans Saints, they can identify. But there's got to be a lot of excitement, as opposed to feeling like, oh man, here we go again. All this work that we do, you know, last year, best record in the National League. We had this humongous, you know, cushion in the NL West. We did all of our due diligence. We had the NL MVP in Cody Bellinger. Now they've added to that a recent AL MVP in Mookie Betts, as well as a pitcher in David Price. And even though they've run into that brick wall, similar to the New Orleans Saints the last 3 years, I feel like there's a lot of excitement around bringing in these two guys, especially Mookie, even though they don't yet know how long he will be with the Dodgers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. So this was delayed a little bit because of the medical issue with one of the minor leaguers that the Red Sox were getting in return, but finally went through. And not only were both Mookie and David Price pretty smiley on Wednesday when they were doing these interviews, but Mookie didn't seem at all like this was a stressful process, only that he was really excited to get started, right? So now that it's done, hey, let's move forward. But otherwise, hey, just wait and see.
For me, it was just trying to get a place to live. I mean, I know I was pretty much doing everything the same. I had a plane set, and I just didn't know which way it was going to go. And so it was fun, you know, kind of stressful at times, but it was fun at times. And glad it got done.
Yeah, it's one of those where you have to be positive and kind of put your best foot forward. I wonder, though, sometimes, even in limbo, if there's this angst. I mean, and I don't mean the stress about not knowing, but this angst of, are you kidding me? You got to pick up, got to start all over again. I mean, there is that business to sports. For us, as people who don't work in or aren't professional athletes, you know, we go through it. Sometimes we pick up, we move, we change jobs, we change states. Sometimes we even change industries. We kind of hit the reset button and begin again. And I'm always interested in talking to athletes when they have to go through this process, because there's all the extra stresses that, you know, that we go through as well. Sure, they might have someone, you know, pay for their moving, which is helpful, but to pick up and start all over and get to know an area where you aren't familiar, that's all part of it. It's all part of being a human being and facing extreme change, which we don't always do extremely well. And sometimes we can be nervous about uncertainty. But the Dodgers are an iconic franchise, and at least there's that, right? There's some familiarity because of who the Dodgers are. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Of course, LA has come close, really close, the last couple of seasons. Does this put them over the top? I mean, that's the idea.
You know, we don't want to add any extra pressure. You know, we're coming here to play the game the same way we always do. I think both inside, we're winners. You know, we work hard to get to where we are, and we're just going to bring it here.
To be able to jump onto a team like the Dodgers, you know, a team that has had the amount of success they have had the past couple of years, and to be able to add a player like Mookie Betts, and then to be able to add myself to that mix as well, that is that's something special to be a part of, and we're both very excited for that.
Yeah, there has to be a lot of excitement. I think with the Dodgers, not that the Red Sox wouldn't have been contenders, or I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because last year, coming off of the World Series, they should have been contenders, and their bullpen was so bad, and their pitching overall was really the weak link, and it affected everything. But theoretically, when you have a Mookie Betts, you're a better team, and they always have high expectations. So they likely would have gone into spring training at least feeling like they had a team that could contend. But the whole mess with Alex Cora and not knowing the manager, there's got to be some relief at least from being out from under that. So the Dodgers, not a part of that in any way. In fact, they... I think some would call them victims of what the Astros did, and maybe the Red Sox, though. The talk is that the Red Sox weren't using their sign-stealing schemes in the postseason. I mean, gosh, it's hard to know exactly right what was happening and when and how far back it went and who was responsible. There's so many conflicting reports out there now that it's starting to become a bit overwhelming. But at least for these two guys who have got now this fresh start with Los Angeles, there isn't any of that. What their former Boston teammates are dealing with. Yes, Ron Renneke has been elevated to interim manager, but they're still waiting on the commissioner's investigation and the report and what might be severe penalties. I don't know how they'll compare with the Astros, but they could end up getting hammered pretty hard as well. So it's got to be nice not to have to be dealing with that fallout as well. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Friedman, the Dodgers president, has talked about his time in Major League Baseball and how both Price and Betts are guys that not only he's followed their careers, but that he really coveted.
Fortunately, the 2006 Devil Rays were so bad that we got the first pick in the 2007 draft and wisely chose David. I've watched him grow and continue to evolve on the mound, and what he does on the mound every fifth day is obvious and evident to everybody that follows. But as we continue to look to supplement and add to this core group, what David brings goes beyond what he does every fifth day. And with Mookie, he embodies everything that we really value about a position player: the impact he has on defense, the instincts on the bases. In the batter's box, it's easy to say, but guys who are aggressive in the strike zone and passive out of the strike zone, he embodies all of that.
I don't know if you heard Andrew Friedman say this on Wednesday, but he actually tried to trade for Mookie Betts last summer. And the Red Sox, who at the time still had Dave Dombrowski, who was running their front office, they ended up getting hot. They won 5 of 6. You guys may remember this for baseball fans, whether you're Red Sox fans or not. You may remember that they were kind of on that line between making some trades and unloading some guys and kind of hitting the reset button because they had been languishing around where they were not really competitors or contenders. And then all of a sudden they win 5 of 6 and they do it against the against the Rays and the Yankees. And they decide not to make any trades. Remember, it was a big uproar from a lot of Boston fans about why they didn't make any trades. And so at the time, Friedman was hoping to get Mookie Betts, and then they would have had him for at least a year and a half. But he talked about how he's had his eye on Mookie going back to when he was a minor leaguer, and Betts was still trying to make it in the big leagues as a second baseman. And so it's kind of neat if you're a guy who works in a front office to be able to pull off a trade like this finally. If at first you don't succeed, you try again. So yeah, if you're a Dodgers fan, if you're a member of the Dodgers organization, there's certainly a ton of excitement about bringing these two guys to your organization and then hoping that whether it's the city, whether it's the franchise and its tradition, you would hope mostly that it's the winning and having an opportunity to get back to the World Series, that causes Mookie Betts to want to stick around. Then there's the question, of course, how much are you willing to pay him? So Betts is going to make $27 million this season. All right, that's fine. And then he could become a free agent. But Friedman said, you know, we're hoping he falls in love with the team and the city, the fans, and wants to stay here. Betts, understandably not giving any indications about what he wants for his future, probably doesn't even know. But the price tag is something that scared the Red Sox away. Putting it in a little bit of perspective with the Dodgers, they were not willing to match what the Yankees were going to pay Gerrit Cole. And so it was too rich for their blood to give a pitcher. How many years did he get? I forgot. Nine years did Gerrit Cole get? 10 years? 10 years. So the $300 million was too rich for them, and they didn't want to go quite that far in terms of a deal for a pitcher. What lengths would they be willing to go to for Mookie Betts? Now, they're getting money in this deal from the Red Sox. So the Red Sox are paying the Dodgers $48 million, mostly to offset David Price's contract. What are the Dodgers? And they have a year to kind of try it out, to work it out, to see if it's something that they really, really want to invest in. But are they willing then to break the bank to keep him? And I say the same thing about Mookie Betts as I've said about some of these other guys who we know are commanding big contracts or waiting for big contracts. Is the market is relatively small for teams that are willing to pay the kind of money that people are talking about with Mookie. So interesting, but that's a problem for another day. They don't have to worry about it yet. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The Astros addressing the media on Thursday is likely to be the big story. We know that Dusty Baker is going to be introduced as well and have his, well, introduced, have his first, you know, opportunities with his team now. The team is now his. It's been handed over to him. The entire squad is in spring training. And so that's going to be the number one thing on Thursday. But even in the lead up to it, it's all anybody is talking about still, and certainly the Yankees. So manager Aaron Boone taking his turn, kind of looking at the Astros situation on Wednesday.
Going to be an interesting, I'm sure, season for them. I'm sure the reaction is going to be, you know, a story everywhere they go. And who knows how it all plays out.
Yeah, that's the thing. As much as Major League Baseball would like this to fade, would like it to kind of take a back seat, maybe hit the back burner as teams convene for spring training, that's not going to happen. We've seen it. Not even some from another planet proposal to change the postseason has caused it to fade into the background. So it's not happening. Not yet. And Thursday is only going to whip all of this interest and angst into a frenzy yet again. So I'm anxious to hear what we get from the Astros on Thursday, the first media availability for the players at spring training. All right, so you can find me on Twitter or on Facebook. Love to hear from you about everything that's happening in Major League Baseball. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. But straight ahead, candid, open conversation with DeMario Davis. He's got a new book out that really describes the journey, atypical, unique journey to get to All-Pro in the NFL. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.